Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU invites local leaders to talk with people they know to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Jonathan Grant, the new Executive Director of World Hunger Relief. Nan Holmes leads the conversation, which was recorded November 3rd, 2021, in the KWBU studio.
Jonathan, thank you so much for taking time from your very busy schedule to visit with me.
It's a true joy to be here, and it's, I guess, a script flip of the script to be on this side of the speaker.
It's our pleasure to have you. The first thing I want to talk to you about are your early years, a long way from Waco, Texas. I think you started out in Brazil, started life out in Brazil.
I did. My parents were missionaries to a southern coastal city named Florianopolis, and I was born 2 years into their stay there. Didn't speak a lick of English till we came back to the States, and were intending to stay there for a long time. But my mother developed cancer, and so we had to come back in 1976.
Oh, and who were some of the people who influenced you earlier regarding leadership? Who were there certain people?
Wow, I've had an amazing number of good fortune in my life, and good people is one of the biggest. I had a pastor named Jimmy Allen, who is a legendary leader, another pastor named Frank Pollard. I've had good friends, but many of the people in my life that taught me the greatest things were some of the senior adult ladies that would pinch my cheeks and expect better of me when I was a rascal. And one thing I've had just an abundance of is high-quality people in my life.
Oh, I tell you, that really does make a difference. Is there anybody who comes to mind specifically, a teacher, your family, someone?
Well, two of my several. One named was a woman named Eleanor Lester. She was a widow, and for some reason she adopted me as a young kid and kept speaking into my ear, God has a plan for your life. God wants to do something remarkable with your life. Please keep saying yes. The other is a woman named Babs Ball. She took me in when I was out of college and trying to figure out life at a very difficult and challenging fork in the road, and said, how about you just come and stay with me? She was the age of my mother, what my mother would have been, and just let me rest and work and figure out what the next phase of my life would be. And it actually turned out to be what I believe helped unlock the rest of my career.
Wow, that is just so moving to think. I know there are people listening out there who really can relate to that, that there are certain people who have helped us stay on that path. It looks like you have a long list of qualifications that you bring to this position. And as I have mentioned in other interviews, I think we all bring our work experiences, all of them, to the new job, and that helps us shape how we make decisions. We bring everything that we've learned forward and add it to the mix.
I have always been a collector of things. As a kid, I collected baseball cards. As a young adult, I collected Baylor sports memorabilia. As an adult and young adult, I've collected skills. And so Frederick Buechner said at one point, paraphrasing, God's will for your life is where the needs of the world meet your greatest joy. And so I've always felt like I could plug myself into any place that I would have skill and passion and learn from it and hopefully be able to give to it. So in my career, I've worked as a minister, ordained minister in a church for a very long time. I've worked building custom homes for clients. I've worked as a real estate salesman. I've worked in several different careers, but most recently I was on the board of a nonprofit, Casa McLennan County, for 3 years. And it was there that I knew that I really wanted to get back into a ministry-oriented, others-oriented industry. And so when World Hunger Relief called. It felt like the perfect blending of ministry and small nonprofit leadership and even running your own business.
Mm-hmm. And I read an article about you that said you describe yourself as the chief fundraiser and storyteller. And what a story there is to tell about the farm.
The farm has really been a gift from God. Bob and Jan Sally, I'm not sure if they knew exactly what it would become in 1976 when they bought the land. But when they hired Carl Reither, the first education director, the seeds turned into roots and in time became a tree under whose limbs many people rested. You know, initially, the farm was what I would call an agricultural missionary sending group that would train folks to grow in subsistence level areas and send them all around the world to help communities learn to grow food, raise livestock for themselves, and in turn feed their families, feed their communities.
Mm-hmm.
In turn, as we began to develop as a farm, we began to realize that Waco itself has some significant food issues, food justice issues. And so we began to look at our own community and say, what might God have for us here? What might we be called to do here in this community that we've grown to love over the last 40 plus years?
That's one thing I think you are qualified to do, and that's the ability to make people aware of hunger relief, World Hunger Relief. I think that's what they need right now, is someone who can just increase the awareness about it, because it's a very well-kept secret to some people, and yet it's such a wonderful organization.
Well, the national and state averages for food insecurity, that means somebody that isn't certain that where every meal will come from in a given day, is close to 10%. McLennan County's average is close to 24%. We are a highly churched population. We are a highly academic population. And you would think with people that care about serving others and giving others and people that were trained brilliantly to think deeply about so many things could work together in such a way that we demolish that number. So my hope and goal is to first raise awareness about the need. We have lots and lots of hungry people in our community, but we also have systems that are broken, food systems, justice systems that are broken that keep folks from having that access. And unfortunately, right now, the zip code that you're born in has a lot to do with your long-term health.
Mm-hmm. That I know about. And I've known about the farm from the consulting work I did with Matt Hess when he acquired the Veggie Van. And so you know that was a long time ago. And many people in Waco at that time were completely unaware about the farm. They, even though it was a long time ago, I don't know that they still know a whole lot about what goes on at the farm and what they do. But many people are also unaware, as you've referenced, of that you have many farm graduates who go out into the wider world and serve communities in need with such a wide variety of services. And you talked a little bit about this, but talk a little bit more. Tell me more about it.
So the farm started as what I would call an educational farm. We trained interns who would come in from mm-hmm. all over the United States and all over the world to learn about agriculture, learn about systems, learn about community development, community building. And in time, we've become really good at farming. We've become really good at community building. We've become really good advocates for the hungry, for the poor. And so one thing we noticed here in town in partnership with Waco Family Medicine is that many of the patients that they see day in and day out are suffering from illnesses that are all food-related, diet-related. And so we started a partnership called the Produce Prescription Program, Produce RX, that looked at getting fresh, organically grown produce into the hands of people who live in what we call food deserts, places that without transportation, you just cannot get to a grocery store that sells produce. And so we grow lots and lots and lots of produce that we hand out 150 half bushels every week and deliver to the family health center, Waco Family Medicine. And then they distribute to the patients by just writing a prescription to that patient. And so we've done that now for 5 years, and we're realizing that we'd like to go deeper, that we want to engage with those patients more and create cohorts of patients that we help lead and teach and learn from at the same time to cover, instead of just a transactional experience, an experience that brings about community and love for one another and support for one another and finding ways that we might benefit from each other's experience. We've also had a long partnership with local elementary schools. We believe that if you expose children early to where their food comes from, that you open up a world of possibilities for them, whether it's going into business for themselves, whether it's just eating healthy foods, whether it's how science works. There's just an enormous potential for teaching children about food system and agriculture and justice and global warming and all kinds of different things. And so we feel like that the farm for us is a canvas or a playground for them to learn and come and see in just a variety of different ways. And then we have started our intern program again. It was dormant for a while, and we are just wrapping up our first season of our interns and looking to launch the second cohort in March.
That is amazing. Where do you get the interns now?
Well, one of the beautiful things about the farm is that it has a rich, rich legacy. We have graduates of the farm all over the world. We have graduates from the farm program all over the city. Some of my favorite people have lived on the farm for a period. Jeremy Everett, Bethel Bruce, Erickson. So it's not a secret to as many people as you think. And so when we put on our website that we were receiving applications for this last cohort, applications just started rolling in. And we didn't have to do nearly as much advertising as we thought. We are taking applications now for the next cohort in March and have far more applications than we can take. In time, my hope is that we can open up those applications again to international students. We've had partnerships with Liberia, with El Salvador, with Haiti in the past, and we'd like to extend them an invitation again. With COVID, or trying to work through and figure out all the visa challenges that a pandemic can bring upon as well.
Yeah. So you're not involved with Haiti right now?
That's correct.
Yeah. That I know that at one time you were, but there were other people there from other
absolutely.
All over.
There's just people doing just work
people
all
coming.
Over the world. That's right. We have a great partnership in El Salvador with a group of farmers who live in a community called Valle Nueve. Intend to go there this next year. I've received calls and emails the last 2 months from our partners at the Ricks Institute in Liberia who are hungry to reengage that partnership. So, you know, the challenge is that hunger is a problem that we must all solve together, and it's a problem that's pretty profound right now. We got a visit from the executive director of the World Food Program, Governor David Beasley, who just won the Nobel Peace Prize about a month ago, and hearing from him the staggering numbers of people that are suffering, that are dying from hunger alone was just overwhelming and served as a catalyst for me again to sign up for another year of what we're doing and say, how might we go about and solve this solvable problem?
Well, you know, a lot of the work that Talitha Kum does is early brain development, and they certainly know from lots of reasons and experiment. They're sort of like an incubator. Poor mental health is a component of that is poor nutrition, where the brain just doesn't get to develop properly. And that's in our own community and many communities where you are truly the prescription for what can help them, their brains literally develop into a functioning brain that can control their emotions, do all kinds of things with food.
With food and with knowledge, right? I got to spend quite a few days volunteering at Talitha Kum, and boy, that had just a wonderful overflowing of God's grace upon me to know that, man, in those years I was showered, even though I had great trauma in my life, I was showered with people who cared for me, that loved me, that surrounded me, and to get to play with those children was just such a joyful experience, but a reminder, of course, like you said, that such of what we believe about the world, so much of what we believe about the world is shaped before we're 3 years old, that just exposure and knowledge and education is a vital part of long-term health. And so my hope is that we can teach our community about the real needs, hunger needs, justice, food justice needs of our community, that we can expose lots and lots of families and young children to what possible solutions might be for our community. But more than anything, just to begin a dialogue with all of our community, with all the faces and voices of our community about how we might together solve this hairy beast of a problem.
And let's talk a little bit about the leadership of the farm. How did you handle coming in when they really had, I mean, Jeremy was helping, but that's a long time, 2 years, to be without an executive director. Do you have any advice for other people who are thinking, well, I'd like to try to be in charge, but they haven't had anybody in a long time, and I don't know if I can do it?
Well, I'm a fairly confident person, and I realized really quickly that I didn't have all the skills I needed to be the sole answer to this question, right? And so when I came on board, I quickly got to know the really small staff we had and was able to see that more than anything, they were just tired. They had worked their tails off. They had planned and dreamed and labored in the hot sun for 2 years. And more than anything, I think just needed some rest, needed to become whole, and needed to be, they didn't need to be, but certainly deserved to be recognized just for carrying the load long enough for it to stay alive. And so we got to know each other well. Ironically, the pandemic hit pretty quickly. I'll have been there 2 years. I've been there for 2 years and 3 or 4 months and came in with all kinds of dreams and a business plan, and the pandemic hit and really threw that out the window. And so one gift of the pandemic for us has been that we've been able to put a pause on some of our things and some of our dreams, get to know each other, get to know the farm better, get to learn the history of the farm, and then get the vision for the future. We've just come out of a long-term visioning process with our staff and with our board, and just feel ready and compelled and equipped to tackle the next 40 years of what the farm has to do in this place.
Have you set a few goals that you'd like to share?
I've set lots of goals. We talk about sustainability being an important thing in our agricultural world. We need to set up processes, not just because of global warming, because of capacity issues, the notion of what it means to grow sustainably, to be a sustainable farm. But the same thing is true for our employees. I want our farm not just to be sustainable, but to be regenerative. So we need policies and practices and rest times for our staff that is sustainable, regenerative. We need some economic, what I would call entry points that help our farm to be regenerative. My hope is to put 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 cottages out on the farm to get some agro-tourism out there, to provide a place for some of our folks to live, to welcome. We hope to be a place of hospitality, so we'd like to welcome folks where they need a place to land. In time, I'd like a conference center. In time, I would like a restaurant that showcases what we have grown, both livestock and produce. So we've got lots and lots of dreams. Right now, for us, the biggest dream is just to get to be on a solid financial footing again. They had done that just before the pandemic, and because so much of our revenue comes from camps and tours and night on the farm dinners and farm day events, on-farm events. We lost close to $160,000 over this past year that we had the reserve, thankful to Jeremy and to Todd Stoner and to all the folks that had worked, Joel Scott, who had worked to develop that reserve once again. But we ran through it this year, and so we are working to build that back up. We feel like we have a great plan. We feel like we are well-positioned and have the right team, and we're ready to go. We just need Waco to say, the world to say, we believe in you, we support you, and we will open up our pocketbooks to you once again.
Well, I can tell you, if you open a restaurant, I will be right there. I used to go sometime, they would just have, you could go there if you let them know and have lunch with them. And I just love to do that because there was nothing like such delicious fresh food. And also it was just a reminder because they had a very strange assortment of silverware, dishes, and cups.
That's right. We still do.
And that appealed to me. It was kind of funky there. But one, if you go there, and I guess are you open for visitors right now? Or
absolutely. We have families come and walk the road and say hi to our animals, and lots of volunteers are now coming again. We have instituted our community meal. Right now it's for our farm staff and interns and board, and hopefully soon we will open it up to the public again. We're doing it on Thursdays in time. Once our funding is a little bit stronger, we'll open it up again every day and invite you to come out. Nan, you're welcome to come out tomorrow and join us for our community lunch. You know, as a kid, there's two things I remember, three things I wanted to be. I wanted to be a rodeo clown, I wanted to be an architect, and I wanted to be a chef. And the notion of architect and rodeo clown left me, but I still have this deep passion to be a chef and to open a restaurant. And so I may not be the head chef at the farm, but in time we'll have some really high quality food featuring our own produce and livestock coming from the farm.
And you're still at the farmer's market on Saturday.
Absolutely.
That's a really nice thing to be able to get fresh fruits and vegetables. I mean, just even to the general population. And I think as groceries go up and people, the working poor who can just barely afford, couldn't afford what groceries were 6 months ago, that they need help too.
That's right. And that's the challenge that we faced with organically grown type foods. The farmer's market, you can testify that food grown properly in a way that's sustainable is expensive. But if we really calculated the real expense of the way big farms grow, you know, having to, one, be subsidized, but all the implements that they have to put into the soil to regenerate it, because it's really the life is being sucked out, it's really not that much more expensive. And so we need a flip of the script to make the kind of produce we grow the most common produce that's out there, and we need it to be accessible to all of the people of Waco instead of just patients of Waco Family Medicine or the farmer's market.
Yes, and elderly, of course.
Absolutely.
Going to the grocery store can be quite an ordeal. And they are on fixed incomes, and there's not enough money to buy always the kind of groceries. Even you don't think about the elderly, the working poor,
That's much right.
As you do the poor. But they all are in need of sustenance. And as you probably know, malnutrition is what kills most elderly people.
Yeah, it's not just about feeding people. It's about feeding people in such a way that they are healthy and thriving, right? And so You can put food in people's bellies all day long and get them to the next day. But to be feeding people that deserve to be fed in such a way that they're actually thriving and growing and have hope for the future is a totally different thing. And so we have the capacity to do that. Our community has the capacity. Our nation and world has the capacity. It's just a matter of prioritizing some values that I think have been shifted. And so, yeah, we're going to get there.
Well, I feel just in this conversation, yes, y'all are on the right path. Your board, your staff are doing some planning because that is so key. You can't just rush out there and start doing this thing and that thing, and then this doesn't work, so we have to try something else. I think long-term planning is essential.
Well, that's exactly right. We received a nice grant from the Cooper Foundation this year. Yeah. That was really a planning grant that helped us to think through an internship program even more deeply, to help us think through how we lead our farm, but then to think through a food justice plan for the city, to look at the food system, to look at access, to look at all those kinds of things. The other thing that we're doing, which is long-term, we wrote a grant to the Ball Foundation a couple of years ago that formed at Truett a program called the Program for Theology, Ecology, and Food Justice. And so we just launched an MA program through the seminary that will help church leaders and business leaders and anybody think through questions like creation care and who is our neighbor and what's our responsibility as people living in this land with our neighbor. And so we've had three semesters and a Maymester complete now, and I'm just really excited about that program and how it will shape the next generation of not just church leaders, but folks that, you know, most of my classmates in seminary aren't working in churches anywhere, but they've been equipped in such a way that they look at the world a little bit differently. And so we're doing lots of things that are long cast, long vision minded. And so, I'm as hopeful as ever, because it's amazing to say that coming out of a pandemic. But I'm as hopeful as ever that we're on the right track.
And I definitely think you are. And Jonathan, I want to thank you so much for coming in today and to talk about this terrific organization. I just consider it a real terrific organization. I think that the more people know about it and that all the dimensions about it, that there's something there for everyone, or that you can just send money. If you want to do that.
That's exactly right.
You don't have to go out there and work in the farm, you know, and work in the fields. You can just help people by supporting them financially. And I think that it's something we can be so proud of here in Waco, that we have such an operation that is speaking to feed the hungry and help those who cannot help themselves. I think that is something anyone should be so proud to do. I want to wish you so much luck, and I hope you'll come back and we can sit down again in the future and just see what's been going on. But if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Several ways. You could email me at jonathan@worldhungerrelief.org. You can visit our website and check out the breadth of what we're doing. It needs some updating because we are constantly retooling who we are and the direction we're headed. But go to our website. It has our email addresses, our numbers. Just come out to the farm at 356 Spring Lake Road out in Lacey Lakeview. It's right off the highway, really close to downtown, a little bit of heaven out in the country.
You said it so well. Thanks again for coming in today.
Thanks, Dan.
This conversation was recorded November 3rd, 2021 in the KWBU studio.